Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 418.
This week on the podcast, it's a Thanksgiving conspiracy spectacular.
We were too lazy to write the rest of the rundown.
So buckle up, because we'll have that and so much more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. Did you say guys?
Yeah, I said guys. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, all right, great.
Yeah, I've been trying. Last week I said, hey y'all, when,
right,
when we had Amanda Littman on.
I felt confused.
Really great about it. Right, I know, because it's not ever what I say.
Right.
But I'm trying to get away from saying, hey guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, listen.
Right. I'm trying to be inclusive here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you fall back on old habits. Sometimes you've had a lot of turkey.
As we also just said, this is podcast 418.
That's right.
So in 416 of those, I guess, I said, hey, guys, I'm Brent. So
It's
easy to fall into old habits.
And all we can do is try better next time.
That's right. Next week.
Next week, yeah. We'll be inclusive.
What we're not going to do is start this recording process over.
That's right.
Even though we've only been at it for 30 seconds.
No, we don't have time for that.
It's Thanksgiving weekend. We are doing this in one take. We have done very little research on this podcast.
No. That's not fair.
Well, extensive research on one story that's not important.
No, not in the slightest. But in another sense is the most important story you'll know about this week.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a busy holiday weekend.
Yeah.
I went to the Museum of Jurassic Technology yesterday for the first time after years of hearing about it. And I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I don't have the words to articulate those thoughts to you
right.
because it's too confusing to even describe.
You spent an afternoon there, but you are not, you don't have the capacity to tell anybody what you saw while you were there.
Mentally, I've spent a day and a half there. I spent an hour or two there in physical form.
Yeah. If it sounds confusing, the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
It is.
Then it will remain confusing after you go, it sounds
yes,
like.
I would say that the confusion is the point, and
sure.
that's all I can really say.
Yeah.
And if you Google it, you will also find that you are confused by what you found when you Googled it. So there's no amount of me explaining what happened that could possibly adequately describe what
sure.
it is to you. So I say, just commit to going if you're in town. And if not, just assume you'll never know. That's all we can say.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't figure it out online.
A lot of headlines this week that were quite concerning about Omicron.
We're
getting deep into the Greek alphabet, you guys.
I know.
And as a person who once studied modern Greek and therefore had to learn the Greek alphabet, I can tell you that there's a lot more letters to come, but I can also tell you that this is more of those letters than you should have ever had to know about. After Delta, you shouldn't have had to find out more about the alphabet.
Well, this is not great. Yeah, I mean,
but in another sense, we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
Like,
I know. Well, there's some early reports actually from South Africa that it's presenting as not as bad also.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like people are just concerned because I think it's got like 30 different variants, and that's surprising to people because you would have expected similar to Delta where it just
like
had
two.
A few different variants to the spike protein, which is how it gets into your immune system, right? But it's got like 30 or something. So now everyone is panicking. But, like,
we don't really know what that means.
It could be potentially not as well. You would expect it to continue to get not as deadly.
Right. Killing people is a bad way for a virus to reproduce.
Right, exactly.
We learned that in our early epidemiology phase when we all became experts originally.
It needs a host.
That's right.
Right. So, like, you know, maybe this won't be as bad. We don't know. I mean, it's bad because nobody knows what it is. So everybody's panicking again. It's, of course, the holidays.
Right.
So everybody's
markets
like,
are crashing.
Here we fucking go again.
Planes
right.
are being halted.
Right.
Grounded.
Travel is being restricted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also we're once again being reminded that the entire medical infrastructure is sort of knowingly racist because we keep calling these new variants South Africa variants. But like, I think that's largely because South Africa is actually tracking variants. It's not like
sure.
they're inventing variants in South Africa. What they're inventing is the medical technology necessary to keep a public health crisis tracked. And that seems to be something we're choosing not to do.
Well, and also I think that people are sort of like, and it's like, how many times with this virus on every single front have we like learned something and then forgotten that we learned it and then did the same thing over again, right?
I mean,
like
every time.
Because like after Delta, everybody was sort of like, well, had we just really made sure because that I think got blamed on, well, South Africa, but also India, I think,
right?
And it's just like, we're blaming it on all of these countries who like don't have health infrastructure, who are not able to get out the vaccine, right? And like, meanwhile, we're here hoarding vaccine. We're not allowing the patents to be released for these countries to make them themselves. And it's just like, go figure, it mutated again and now is coming for America. We did this once.
Right,
like
we already
this
know
time last year.
This method.
And like, we all talked about the reason that it happened.
Right. Yeah, it was known to everyone what was going on. Again, and this is months past the time we all became professional epidemiologists.
Right, exactly.
So we're all just ashamed. We are a scourge on our profession at the moment. Patrick Leahy's retiring. Old people.
Well, leaving. I was going to say, he's 174, yeah. So, I mean.
But that's never stopped anyone who's said it before.
No, it's not. So. He's going to have so much time to be in all the Batman movies that he wants.
That's right.
Yeah. That's...
Batman movie actor, as he's probably always dreamed of, let's be honest.
Sure.
He's a senator. He wanted to be famous.
Right. He had big dreams, and he had to settle on being United States senator for 30-some-odd years. Right?
For a state that maybe longer. Doesn't even have any people in it. Right. We had one verdict situation that was not as terrible as last week's verdict situation, which you might recall was not ideal.
Yeah.
Because the Ahmaud Arbery verdict actually came down guilty on all of the various people that just like murdered him in cold blood.
Right.
So that was, listen, this is not an indictment of our criminal justice system because this is not a sufficient answer to the problem of white supremacist violence.
Well, right.
But it's better than having them walk free.
It certainly is. And I think it also sort of like, yes, people were obviously like pleased that this was the verdict. But also it sort of like then reminded us like, you know, it took that police department, you know, like, what was it? Like almost 80 days to even file any charges for, not the police department, but the DA, the AG.
Can't remember who's in charge.
And it was when the video came out, right? Mm-hmm. Like there would be no, and not only would there not be a conviction in this case, there would be no charges in this case if video didn't surface of this at a certain point. So like I think reminding anybody who would listen to me that day that like we should still burn down the criminal justice system in this country.
We should just be happy that three murderers aren't on the loose.
That's right. Yes.
Which is, I guess, better than some of the people who appear in the next story we're about to talk about. In honor of the holiday, we're each going to be talking about a conspiracy story. And we need to thank Grant Sloss, our frequent guest and friend of the podcast, Grant Sloss, for putting us on the case of the story, right. But he did not.
And also on a lot of cases in this podcast, because we have a very active thread with Grant. And
he's like, doing the research for our doc these days.
We were at lunch earlier today not wanting to do any research for this document. Yeah. And we were like, let's go back through our text thread with Grant. And we were like, that's the podcast docket today.
In defense of us, though, even Grant didn't know the depths of this story.
No, and you probably heard this story because it's going around right now and everybody's really loving it because people are living for the fact that Michael Flynn is now being, you know,
he's in hot water.
Being attacked by the QAnon people because there was some video or some audio of him being released, you know, saying that that Q is bullshit, right?
But here's the thing.
The
story of how we got here is so much more interesting than you can possibly have thought.
It's a saga.
It's a saga. Or in the words of the tagline of the movie Heist, more twist than a bag of pretzels. Because this story involved so many people I didn't expect to make an appearance
other
in the story.
Cults?
It involved other cults. I mean, things are... Let me just start. I don't even know.
I was going to say, when you have a story that involves multiple cults,
you know you're in for fun.
Yeah.
So for a while, since last year's pardon, Michael Flynn, former national security advisor for Trump, has been on sort of like a MAGA media tour.
Sure.
He's been, you know, speaking about how we should overturn the results of the 2020 election, that sort
Obviously.
Of thing. And he's also embraced QAnon. He's done a QAnon oath. He's raised money from QAnon. He's sold QAnon merch. Mm-hmm. He went to a QAnon conference in May. Where he endorsed the idea of a military coup, as you do.
Sure.
But naturally, the followers of QAnon are conspiracy theorists. And so nobody is safe from their conspiracizing. Right.
They're currently still waiting for JFK, by
exactly.
the way.
Right. They are. Right.
We gave you that story weeks ago, and they're there.
They're there. They're waiting. They're not to be dissuaded from a completely bad
shit. So this is what they do with who they are.
Exactly. So earlier this fall, to what could be a series of mishaps or could be an intentional series of insanities, Q followers started to panic that Michael Flynn is a secret Satan worshiper, which for them is the number one thing they are always on the lookout for. They have been looking for Satan worshipers everywhere. They believe Hillary Clinton is one. They believe George Soros is one.
Right.
Pizzagate is about Satan worshiping.
I was
going to
say, they've been looking for them in basements of pizza restaurants that don't have basements.
Exactly. And they, in QAnon parlance, being cannibalistic Satanists, which is the worst thing that you can be, is being a Luciferian, which sounds so much like Rastafarian. It's too funny. But in any case. So I'm going to take us all back to September 17th.
Sure.
Just a few months ago.
Yeah.
When Michael Flynn is visiting a Nebraska congregation at the Lord of Hosts Church, led by Hank Kuhneman. Mm-hmm. And in his speech says, and listen, you can hear these words, and neither Brett and I know what they mean, so don't worry about that. But
no, Lila noted that she didn't know what they mean, and I was, I think, implying that maybe I would because I go to church, yeah. And I don't.
No, I was, I was looking for your input, and I'm glad to find that there's nothing relevant here to anyone.
Yeah.
He said, "We are your instrument of those sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them." And then later said, "We will be the instrument of your will, whatever it is. In your name and in the name of your legions, we are freeborn and we shall remain freeborn and we shall not be enslaved by any foe."
It's that last part that you're going to need to file away for future reference.
Yes. Keep that one. Keep the words of the first one in mind, and then keep the whole second one in mind, because all of that is
relevant.
Part
about the legions and the freeborn.
Right. You're going to want to know about sevenfold rays. You're going to want to know about legions of freeborns or fleaborns.
And whatever. It's all made up. So.
So a video of this prayer circulates online.
Yeah.
QAnon followers, being conspiracy theorists, see the references to legions and rays and start to speculate that Michael Flynn is now worshiping the devil. Obviously, that's where that would lead you. But worse.
Well, when you're constantly looking for devil worshippers,
it's easy to find it.
I bet you surprise yourself how often you find them.
That's so true. It's like, you know, people say that if you're like looking for criticism, you'll find it. Like, it's like that, but for Satan worshiping.
That's right.
In any case, since the congregation, as he's saying these words, is repeating the prayer after him, which means that not only did he worship Satan, but he unwittingly or led an unwitting congregation into Satan worship
without
their knowledge.
It's like, I guess if you actually say the words, it's like how we found out this week that, what's his name, Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder are still married. Because they went through a full wedding ceremony while shooting Dracula.
Right.
Like, in one take. So now they're technically... Just because they said the words, that's what they've done here, right? They repeated the words of Michael Flynn.
That's right.
So now, just...
They're Satan worshippers.
Right. On a technicality.
On a technicality. And they didn't, you know, they didn't want to be. So this is the worst thing you can do to somebody in Q World, by the way.
Yeah.
So then, later in September, a Florida pastor, Rick Wiles, who's an anti-Semite and an extremist of... various stripes.
Sure.
He runs a conspiracy theory news outlet called True News, obviously. Does like an hour-long True News broadcast about the Flynn prayer, claiming that the mentions of rays and legions show that he's worshiping the devil and threatens the followers' souls of this Nebraska church. So one of their people then gets on the air and does like a full news broadcast about it. Then on September 25th, Flynn acknowledges that this controversy is happening on a social media app that comes up again and again in this story called Telegram, but that I have never personally heard of, and said the prayer was about his namesake, Saint Michael, and said it had great meaning to him.
Sure.
Then someone who I think it was Daily Beast described as a Twitter user, Jim Stewartson,
sure.
Who is actually the founder of an anti-Q group that's called the Thinkin Project, play on the Lincoln Project, but... There's a fascinating Vice article about them because apparently they are also problematic in numerous ways. And Jim Stewartson is the chief problematizer of that group. Notes that there are extreme similarities between the prayer, that second part that we told you to remember, that Flynn recited at the Nebraska church, and a prayer by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who is now dead, but she was the leader of a doomsday cult that was obsessed with nuclear war, called the Church Universal and Triumphant. Now, we also have a bizarre connection to this cult.
Yeah.
Because we have a friend who also has a great political podcast that we were just on
a few weeks ago. Yeah, called The Radical Secular.
Called The Radical Secular. And he is Elizabeth Clare Prophet's son. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, we had just been thinking about this.
Lila was reading the story and flung her hands out.
Right.
Like, it's like, wait a minute.
Right. This is too many connections.
It's, yeah.
In any case, this cult, they had a doomsday prediction in 1990 that did not end up panning out.
Right, the world was going to be ended by a huge nuclear war between the Soviet Union and the United States. And at that time, they got a decent amount of followers, and then they
the end of the Cold War.
It was
chaos.
Right, they built a bunch of fallout shelters for an apocalypse that didn't come.
Right, so common with apocalyptic cults is you spend a lot of time building fallout shelters that never get any use. Mm-hmm. In any case, so. Twitter user Jim Stewartson notes that there are some remarkable similarities between a prayer that Prophet that Prophet had given and Flint's words in Nebraska. And we're going to read them side by side so that you can see the similarities. Mm-hmm. Prophet said, "In the name of Archangel Michael and his legions, I am freeborn and I shall remain freeborn and I shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without." And again, Flynn's words were, "In your name and the name of your legions, we are freeborn and we shall remain freeborn and we shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without."
Essentially so, the exact same.
The same prayers. Yeah. Now, maybe this is a prayer that everyone's giving. We don't know anything about that.
But it's not.
Let me tell you, Q followers.
We do know that.
We do know. Great. Q followers are on the case.
Yeah.
Enough so that Hank Kuhneman, the Nebraska pastor, whose church, you know, was hosting this devil-worshipping prayer, mm-hmm. Has to get out and defend Flynn in front of his congregation because he's getting just, like, tons of messages
right.
from people about it. In any case, Flynn then has to get out ahead of this. In October, he goes on a YouTube channel called Truth Unveiled TV to rebut the idea that he led a church congregation in a satanic ritual borrowed from a doomsday cult. Mm-hmm. As you do, that video is entitled "Some Have Said That General Flynn Prayed to Satan in a Recent Prayer." Also, just as like a side
Some
note.
Some have said. That was the best.
So as good. A side note, this is there's another figure who was a former Q figure who got taken down in a similarly hilarious way that I just wanted to mention because it was mentioned in one of the articles that I read about this. There was a guy who ran against James Lankford, who's the Oklahoma
senator
yeah. Republican, an asshole. But there was this other Senate candidate, Jackson Lehmeyer, I don't know,
yeah,
endorsed by Flynn.
Yep.
Appears at a QAnon conference. It's like a QAnon guy. Mm. But a few months later, he posted a picture of his daughter wearing red shoes, innocently, not realizing that QAnon followers consider red shoes to be a sign of the devil. And so he got caught up in his own controversy and had to write a Facebook post in which he said, "I'm in no way involved in child sex trafficking, pedophilia, or devil worship." So just posting his daughter in red shoes, also something just doing that, something that can land you in trouble with Q. So it's hard to stay afloat with these people, is all yeah. I'm saying. In any case, keep all of that context in mind.
Right.
Just the top
now,
line.
Now we're moving on to the Kyle Rittenhouse portion exactly. of this story.
Keep all of the main takeaway you want is that Michael Flynn is in hot water with QAnon followers because they believe
because of this prayer.
That because of a prayer, because they think he's a Satan worshiper.
Right.
Obviously.
Some have said.
So now we move on to the portion that's about the pro-Trump lawyer and QAnon booster Lynn Wood, who's kind mm-hmm. of like a big figure in the Q movement, a leader yeah. in the Q movement, some might say. Is also a lawyer and has actively defended Flynn in the Satan-worshipping situation, but to his own detriment because the Q followers did not follow him down that path.
No.
In any case, they are all obviously together involved in attempts to overturn the 2020 election, but they're all in a really big feud right now because Lynn Wood was at one time Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney, mm-hmm. and Kyle Rittenhouse got on Fox News in an interview like last week or the week before and said that Lynn Wood had been deliberately keeping him in jail to raise money off his case. So now Rittenhouse is on the attack.
Right.
Wood is furious.
Furious. And he needs backup.
He needs backup. And he backed up Flynn during the Satan-worshipping portion of the story, yep. and Flynn is nowhere to be found.
Nope.
Neither is Sidney Powell. None of the Trumpers are anywhere to be found to defend him from Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old idiot's accusations
on Fox News.
And so Wood is on the warpath right now.
Yeah.
And this week decides he's going to take action.
Mm.
And so this week he releases a recording of what he says is a phone call between him and Flynn. He releases it on Telegram. Once again, an app I've never heard of. And in the call, Wood says that Flynn, Wood complains to Flynn that his QAnon supporters have attacked Wood online, that QAnon is now turning on him.
Yeah.
And Flynn attempts to disown QAnon and
right.
says, "I think it's a disinformation campaign. I think it's a disinformation campaign that the CIA created. That's what I believe. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I think it is. I think it's a disinformation." He just keeps repeating that. Later, he also tries to say that it wasn't the CIA, it was the left. Maybe he thinks they're the same thing. I'm not really sure.
Sure. But deep state.
Deep state. He promises to send Wood an article about QAnon's failure.
I wonder which one he'll pick.
Obviously, he chose one by a white supremacist radio host, which is the only reputable source for anything like this.
Sure, Hal Turner.
Right. So also on, what is it, Telegram? Whatever this app is
yeah,
that they
whatever.
Made up that's Parler for the people that got kicked off Parler. Wood posts text messages of the article that Flynn sent him. The article is Hal Turner ridiculing the JFK believers in Dallas who are still there right now.
Yeah.
And saying and endorsing the idea of mass violence against the state. He says in the article that that Trump supporters are looking like fools in quote, until something like mass slaughter happens. He says that JFK debacle is causing is happening because people are, quote, too cowardly to stand up, pick up guns and go kill people meant to be the people who stole the election.
The election. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And so if you are wondering the series of events that led Michael Flynn to disavow QAnon.
Yeah.
First of all, he has not publicly disavowed QAnon because he did this only because an angry lawyer released a private conversation between the two of them.
Right.
Second of all, if you're wondering,
well, he wants to continue to be on tour with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. They're raising money off of each other. Yeah. And everyone's raising money off of everyone because Kyle Rittenhouse is pissed because Lynn Wood is raising money off of him.
Yep.
I don't know what Flynn's relationship to the prophets is, but I have a lot of questions about that.
Same.
In any case, basically, if you saw a headline this week that was Michael Flynn disavows QAnon, it starts with a story of him being a Satan worshiper. It involves a cult. It involves Kyle Rittenhouse. It involves Q supporters turning on Lynn Wood, who is just having a vendetta. It involves a fake social media app called Telegram. And then it also involves the white supremacist radio host Hal Turner. And that's how that story came to be, you guys.
And that's our podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not, because we have other Q supporters to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Lauren Boebert.
Oh, my God.
At it.
At
this
it.
This week.
On a roll.
You probably heard about this story, too. She was in an event Thanksgiving in her home district, and she tells the crowd that she's got an Ilhan story for them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she goes on, and she's talking about how the story began. She was with a staffer trying to get into an elevator on January 6th.
Sure.
And she said, we're leaving the Capitol and we're going back to my office, and we get an elevator and I see a Capitol police officer running hurriedly to the elevator. I see fret all over his face.
Fret.
And he's reaching and the door's shutting like I can't open it. Like, what's happening? Boebert told the crowd. I look to my left and there she is, Ilhan Omar. And I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack. We should be fine.
The audience loved it.
So the story was probably actually over there until she got the level of applause that she did. So there's an act two to the story.
Right.
She said, she continues, she said, so we only had one floor to go. And I say, do I say it or do I not? And I look over and I say, look, the jihad squad decided to show up for work today. Don't worry. It's just her staffers on Twitter that talk for her. She's not tough in person.
The Jihad Squad.
Listen.
I can think of a Jihad Squad that is currently in Congress, but it's a different group of people than Lauren Boebert seems to believe it is. And I think she might be in it.
I think she might be in it. Yes. Yeah. So it started going viral because this was on video, because of course it was, which of course she knew, obviously. Right? Like, she's at a campaign
event. She's fundraising off this.
Yeah, of course. Anyway, Ilhan Omar, pissed, obviously. Democrats everywhere. Pissed. Right. She tweeted.
Nice people. Pissed.
First off, claims that this is an entire figment of Boebert's imagination, which I'm quite certain that it probably is, right? Like, this is a great story that she invented for herself to fundraise off of and have, like, a viral moment, right? But Ilhan Omar tweeted, she said, this buffoon looks down when she sees me at the Capitol. This whole story is made up. Sad she thinks bigotry gets her clout.
So, some important facts we've learned. Lauren Boebert is afraid of Ilhan Omar. A thing...
Sure. That
couldn't be more true.
100%.
And talks tough when she's in front of her own crowd.
That's right.
She's afraid to look her in the eye.
Right. She sort of apologized, not to Ilhan Omar, but to Muslims on Twitter. She said, I apologize to anyone in the Muslim community I offended with my comment about Rep Omar.
Everyone except Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, all the Democrats were mad. Those two, Pelosi and Hoyer, released a joint statement, and they said racism and bigotry of any form, including Islamophobia, must always be called out, confronted, and condemned in any place it is found.
The fact that they're in leadership in this body has not empowered them to do anything about this. Because this is actually, like, I would say, grounds for having some sort of action taken against you.
Oh, yeah, and maybe they'll get there. I mean, they just did that with Gosar. I don't understand how all these people are still in Congress.
No.
I mean, the answer is expulsion.
Yes.
For sure.
Especially, this is not Lauren Boebert's first offense.
No, she's going to have another one in a second, which is actually funnier than I want it to be. And especially, I don't feel like I want to give her comedy props after what we just told you, what she said about Ilhan Omar. But we've, right. we've got a second story from the same event that went unnoticed because this was the viral moment that came from it, as it should have been, because it was horrifying for a sitting member of Congress to display this level of, you know, insane Islamophobia. If, by the way, before we get to that, the second part of that story, if you're wondering what Steve King has been up to, which you probably weren't because had been really living the dream without him having to weigh in on anything that we had to care about. But he did weigh in on this.
He found his way.
Right. He tweeted and he said, Pelosi changed the House rules for Ilhan Omar to allow her to wear her turban on the floor. First day, a member said to me, 4 pounds of C4 under that would wipe out half of Congress. So Steve King, still alive, tweeting.
So just out here, periodically, his racist thoughts get too overpowering for him, and he is forced to take to Twitter.
Yeah, that's right.
To expel them.
So at that same event, she said she was really on a roll with a Lauren Boebert comedy hour.
Yes.
Right?
Look, the crowd's eating it up.
The crowd
She's probably
totally
got a holster on. She loves that. I mean,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Definitely. Yeah. She says, she said, meanwhile, you have Secretary of Transportation, good old Mayor Pete. He wasn't even put in charge of the supply chain crisis. Someone else was tapped for that because Mayor Pete is still at home trying to figure out how to chest feed.
Oh, man. You guys.
God.
To be fair, she picked a target everyone hates, at least. The problem with picking on Ilhan Omar is everyone likes her.
I know.
She's liked by, like, everyone likes her. That's, everyone who isn't afraid of her politically.
Right.
Also, like, really likes her. Moderates like her. Everyone likes
her. That's the thing.
She's the dumbest person to pick on in the entire Congress.
Well, exactly. Because people will come to her aid, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, and like you said,
in a way they don't for AOC.
Well, that's what I was going to say. AOC, certainly not Rashida Tlaib. They don't come to her aid at
Never.
All. Like, they come to her aid because they like her.
Yeah. No, it's like their obsession with her just because she wears a hijab, I guess, is so bizarre to me because it's at a certain point, like, not even good politics. Because I get that they are fundraising with, like, a weird rabid base off of this.
Yeah.
But, like, this is not...
It's not great politics.
Great politics. And there are people who, for whom it probably would be better politics to go on weird racist attacks towards. I'm not suggesting that they should.
They should, right.
Obviously.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, like, it's so weird that they're obsessed with her in this way. Like, they're kind of obsessed with her because they, like... They have, like, a political crush on her.
Yeah.
It's, like, the kind of obsession you have when you're, like, a little boy dipping your, you know, girl's pigtails into inkwells.
Right.
Like...
It is, yeah.
You know? It's, like, a schoolyard crush that they have on Ilhan Omar.
Weird.
It's so weird. In any case, listen, the Lincoln Project is awful, and we've told you that.
You heard it here first, weekly.
That's right.
By the way, during the 2020 election. I don't know how many people I told that I don't fuck around with the Lincoln
That's
Project.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the same reason I don't fuck around with MSNBC, because it's mostly the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same people. But finally, some other people who have been burying their heads in the sand re the Lincoln Project for too long, because obviously they've been discredited for like a years at this point, have started to be like, is the Lincoln Project like not great? And Politico had a huge article about it this week.
I highly recommend reading this Politico article because it really kind of dives into all of the things that have gone on that have called their credibility into question. But like, beyond their credibility, like,
which they never had in the first
which
place.
Right, to me. I mean, everybody just loved that they sort of like actually showed up to a knife fight with a knife.
Right.
And like, I will give them credit for that, because like, the Democrats themselves would not
have
done so.
That's what you get when you get Republicans on board with hating Republicans.
Right, exactly. So like, sure, fine. I think people have questions about why they currently exist.
That's right.
Okay.
That's fair.
And certainly they have not had a great run of it of late. There have been, you know, questions about how much money they raised and did not use and where that money is going. They had a big, they had a whole scandal of sexual assault allegations.
Obviously,
that they hired some shady firm to, like, you know, do an independent investigation of that, like, came up with nothing. But, like, everybody seems to think that maybe... That
was part of the was part of the plan.
Right. But the thing that I think has set people off recently is that one of the people who also nobody really knows who's running it any longer.
Yeah.
There's questions about that. Like, there's differing opinions on depending on who you ask of the leadership, and like, even between that and like what's listed online as who sort of is like running it, and now who is just working as a consultant and whatever else. But they recently, you'll remember that it was them that claimed responsibility for having a bunch of people dress up as if they were like the white supremacists at the Charlottesville rally. Right.
And go a to genius a, plan.
And, right, and go to a Glenn Youngkin rally. Like, that was, like, you know, everybody thought that was a shit idea of all political
that's right.
you know, stripes.
Right? It was an openly bad idea.
Right. But what has really set people off mostly is this recent idea that one of the people who, and I can't remember who it is, but one of their the people who is still sort of like technically one of the leaders of this group is pushing that they would like Trump to be the nominee in 2024 because he would be the easiest Republican to beat.
A famous thing that has been said before and backfired dramatically.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot, all of the Never Trumpers are like, no, we're Never Trumpers because we would like to never see Trump again.
That's right.
It's in the name.
It's famous thing we believe.
Right? And Democrats are sort of like, no, just
we,
no.
We said this once,
right.
And it wasn't great.
Well, right, exactly. One of my, the best part of this article, at least for me anyway, was Zach Petkanis, who was one of Hillary Clinton's top aides in 2016, was quoted in this article as saying, read the room, they sound like me in 2016, which at least to my eyes is the first responsibility that anybody from the Clinton camp has taken for pushing Trump to the forefront, because like yeah. There are a lot of reports that they like were openly trying to do that. So I thought that was rich.
It's exciting to see someone try to parse out what happened.
I know.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. Oh, but, maybe some of that was our responsibility. Sorry, guys.
God.
Well, not sorry. They didn't apologize.
No, of course they would never apologize. That's not them. That's
but anyway,
not
read that whole thing. And also, stop fucking around with the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, if you actually...
Sure, they made some great memes, but fuck them.
Yes, exactly. I would
and
say...
And always fuck them.
And always fuck them. I would say there is never a time... There are times where it is like strategic to... be allied with people that don't align with you politically exactly.
Right?
I voted for Democrats.
Right.
I don't believe in most of what Democrats think because I'm
right?
far to the left of a Democrat, but I know what life is.
Yeah.
That said, I think there are also times to think, is there maybe like a line where I no longer can sort of like morally support the idea of endorsing a group that represents an ideology that I think is actively destructive.
Yeah, and they don't know how to get Democrats elected either. I mean, like,
no.
They definitely did a good job of taking down Trump specifically. But,
right.
like, I just don't... Nate,
let the lesson be we should bring a knife to a knife fight.
Hello? Because they will turn on you as sure as anything.
When, I mean,
and all, but
famously.
Also, you know, it's... They don't... Not all of their ideas are great ideas either.
Yeah.
It was... They ran a lot of ads... in that Virginia race that were attempting to, you know, drag Youngkin down, tie him to Trump, right?
Like, which accidentally helped him get elected.
A lot of that was their responsibility, and that did not work, right?
Right?
So, like, I don't think that we also have to just sort of, like, assume that if they've come up with an idea that it's the right idea either. And I think that a lot of people, both Never Trumpers and a lot of, like, people on the left were like, let's just let the Lincoln Project handle this.
Right.
And it's like... No, don't let the Lincoln... That's
also,
not the, that's not
try
the plan.
To get the money that they got yourself.
Wow. I'm sure.
Like, that's the... I think that we were just like, well,
yeah.
they have all this money. And it's like...
Yeah. But also,
just
they will,
thinking...
They will use that money and turn on you as sure as anything.
Exactly.
If there's a Republican presidential candidate comes around that they like, they're all Republicans.
Exactly.
That's the thing, right?
And
these people ran John McCain's campaign. They saddled us with Sarah Palin. They're partially responsible for Trump in the first place. They don't like you.
No.
Like,
and also... They are not, like, representing any sort of vision. They are just reactive.
No, totally.
So, like, you can be like, okay, if Steve Schmidt feels guilty about having
right.
once done been responsible right. for something, like, he can do whatever he
right,
wants.
Exactly.
But, like, you don't have to participate in validating him. We don't actually have to forgive him. He has to forgive himself.
That's right.
These are people that are trying to forgive themselves.
Well, that's, I think, part of what this
which is
whole
what the
operation was anyway. And I let's just... Let's just tell them that they've done it now.
Right.
They
well,
like
this is also a thing though where it's just like we will let any like moderate white man in a suit with a bad idea like pretend they have authority on a matter that they have actually fucked up royally.
Totally.
Which is what the Lincoln Project looked trustworthy because it was a bunch of asshole men that we were used to seeing in positions of authority.
Yeah.
Basically. And it's like you have like these people on the left that are like young and new and people of color and women
right.
and no one really knows
what
to do with that.
They were already famous for their bad ideas.
Famous! It's like when Bush officials come back and you're like, no, Christy Todd Whitman.
Right. We do not need John you Kasich. At the DNC.
Exactly. Get out of the DNC.
Right.
We don't need you to help us support you, like, terrible ideas.
Yeah.
But this is something, this is a sort of natural end to the vote blue no matter who mentality, which is why I think we have to be more vigilant than just to think like, oh, the Lincoln Project is bad people, because like we know the Lincoln Project's bad people. But think like if you find yourself thinking to yourself exclusively along the lines of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, then you are playing bad politics.
Yep.
Because politics is what's that? Politics is a much more complicated game with 5D chess, whatever people are always saying. I don't know what dimension of chess we're using as the reference.
Sure.
But like politics is more complicated than just the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah.
You have to think in the long game.
Right.
Thinking the Lincoln Project is not a long game.
No.
In any case, stop saying nice things about them. If they want to produce ads that are mean to Trump, let them go ahead and do that. They're welcome to.
Right.
But don't.
They should use their own money.
They should use their own money.
Leave me out of it.
They should not. I'm not going to share those memes.
No.
If we deigned to have good ads, I might share those.
Sure.
I mean, we won't. So I guess that's too bad for everyone. I'm just saying, like, there is no reason to reduce politics because it's only two parties to think that it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Nope.
In any case, that's Thanksgiving.
That's Thanksgiving.
You know, that's I think it. There's really nothing more appropriate. I feel like we've been doing actually some good Thanksgiving content because I feel like in some ways Thanksgiving is just like a myth-making
operation. About to say,
and
right?
I feel like our Pete Buttigieg episode was a good Thanksgiving episode because it was about American myth-making.
Right.
I feel like we're myth-making Michael Flynn right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like the story of, and that's really the story of the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
It's a story of flawed American myth-making. And
I
with
like
that...
It.
We may not be here next week because I will be in transit, but we will be back with guests the week after and the week after that.
Yeah.
And so stay tuned for that. We have some exciting people coming on.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I would assume, exciting thoughts on the horizon, if I had to guess.
Please. Obviously.
And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.